The woman's eyes widened briefly, and she raised one eyebrow expectantly at Norrie. Norrie smiled. Of course, how silly of me to forget the Christmas discount. Let's round it down to £325 exactly. Wonderful, exclaimed the woman. She began immediately to rummage around in her handbag while Andrew whisked the book, which Norrie had been wistfully stroking, out of Norrie's reach to wrap it. Andrew handed the book, enveloped in thick brown parchment paper and secured with string, to Norrie, and Norrie held it out to the woman. The woman took it, but Norrie held on. Suddenly, she couldn't seem to make her hands unclench. The woman tugged, and Norrie resisted. The woman smiled uncertainly and tugged again. Reluctantly, Norrie let go, and the woman hurried out of the shop, apparently fearing Norrie might give chase. In fairness, if Amira hadn't ambled in at that moment and flung herself into one of the old Chesterfield armchairs in the reading corner, she might have. Amira was wearing a black floor-length military coat, undone to reveal a tailored black skirt suit that nipped in at the waist and a brilliant white shirt with a ruffle down either side of the buttons. Her knee-high stilettoed black boots squeaked as she crossed her legs elegantly and settled her gaze first on Norrie and then Andrew. Hello, my darlings. Coffee's on the way, she smiled. Where Amira was tall and Marlene Dietrich sleek, Norrie was 5'5" at a pinch, with decidedly Rubenesque proportions. Norrie had a heart-shaped face with high cheekbones, emphasized by almost permanently rosy cheeks. If she were an actress, she would surely be typecast as a buxom wench. Her shoulder-length hair, like her eyes, was a mixture of browns, golds, and ambers that caught the light. Her friend Jenna had once said that Norrie had the colouring of a tortoiseshell cat. Norrie had decided there were far worse animals to be likened to. Norrie checked her watch. Shouldn't you be in court, defending the defenceless? She asked. The case was adjourned until the morning. Lucky us, said Andrew slyly. Don't pretend you're not delighted to see me, said Amira. Now, bring my goddaughter over here so that I can coo over her. Actually, Amira, Matilda is my goddaughter. Yes, but we're best friends, so she's my goddaughter by proxy. Norrie couldn't argue with that. The bell jingled, and Hannah, the owner of Delicioso Coffee, came in bearing three cardboard cups steaming in the cold air. Thank you, Hannah, said Norrie, taking the cups. You didn't need to bring them over. I would have come and got them. It's no bother. We're quiet at the moment, the lull before the lunch rush. Lots of people are talking about your window display. It's quite a hit. Andrew beamed. This year's Christmas window design had been his idea. A 3-foot, plump and jolly Father Christmas sat in a rocking chair, reading, his half-moon glasses slipped to the end of his nose. Around him were piles of well-loved books and vintage Christmas titles propped up, covers facing outward. This morning they had sold a particularly crusty-looking copy of The Little Match Girl from the display. Let's hope it brings the customers in, said Norrie. If she can bear to actually part with the books, added Andrew. He was kneeling at Amira's feet, the papoose still attached to him, while Amira poured adoration upon his daughter. Having men at her feet, even gay men, was something Amira was used to. Hannah left, and Norrie began searching for a book to fill the hole on the shelf left by the one just purchased. An unfilled bookshelf was a sad shelf indeed. She wandered over to a pile of leather-bound tomes sitting on an antique dining chair with a frayed red velvet seat. She knew exactly what she was looking for and gave a little hum of satisfaction when she found it. A book celebrating paintings by Maria Sibylla Merian. Norrie carefully extricated it from the stack and stroked the cover. The antique chair creaked in gratitude at having some weight lifted from it. She gently opened the book and began to turn the pages, feeling a sense of deep contentment as her eyes roamed over paintings that were as familiar to her as her own face. Nori had studied literature and art history at university and had written her final dissertation on the forgotten female artists of the Golden Age. Marian's work had featured heavily.